With so many options, why choose Arizona State University?
For me, the only online option was ASU because of the quality. Their faculty was really involved with their students and care about your personal journey. The dedication to my personal development from my professors, that's been extremely valuable to me.
Earn your degree from the nation's most innovative university. Online. That's a degree better. Explore more than 350-plus undergraduate, graduate, and certificate programs at asuonline.asu.edu.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. We have everything you need to update your window treatments with Window Images blinds and shades. We carry vinyl, aluminum, and faux wood blinds, cellular shades, and more. Plus, get them trimmed to width in-store for free. Also, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening this week. Save big money
at Menards. At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
You're listening to continuing coverage of the trial of Adam Montgomery for the murder of his daughter, Harmony Montgomery, from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Courtroom coverage continues now.
Counsel, approach for just a minute, please. Ready for the jury?
Yes, sir.
Please rise for the jurors. Please be seated. State may call its next witness.
Thank you, Your Honor. The state calls Ms. Emily Watson, Ms. Emily Thompson to the stand. My apologies. Thompson, if you would please remain standing just for a brief moment, would you please raise your right hand? Do you solemnly swear that the testimony you will give this jury will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I swear it.
Thank you. Please feel free to have a seat. Ms. Thompson, as we're being recorded here today, would you please state your full name and then spell both your first and your last name for the record?
Emily Thompson, EmilyThompson.
And Ms. Thompson, currently, what state are you living in?
Maryland.
Okay. And back in 2020, what state were you living in?
New Hampshire.
What city were you living in New Hampshire?
Manchester.
Okay. And let me ask you briefly, just so we can understand a little bit about your background. How far did you go in school?
I graduated in 2020.
Okay. From high school?
College.
From college.
Yes.
And what did you graduate with? What degree?
A Bachelor's of Fine Arts degree in creative writing.
And let me ask you, back in the winter of 2020, so I'm talking about January, February, March of 2020, where were you employed?
Portland Pie Company here in Manchester.
How long were you working for Portland Pie Company?
I worked for them on and off for about 5 years. I started in 2015 up through the time the branch closed in 2020.
Okay. And that was, right after COVID started, is that right?
We shut down just before COVID, everything else down.
Okay. So during your time there, what did you do at Portland Pie Company?
I was a delivery driver.
In the winter of 2020, let me ask you, did you ever work with an individual by the name of Adam Montgomery?
I did, yes.
And what did he do there at that restaurant?
I believe he was a dishwasher.
Did you ever see Adam Montgomery there with a bag in the walk-in cooler?
I think I did, but I couldn't say with any absolute certainty.
Okay. And what do you think you remember of that?
I believe I recall him either coming into the walk-in or leaving the walk-in with a bag.
Where was this cooler?
It was in the kitchen, between the dishwashing room and the exit into the main dining area.
And correct me if I'm wrong, it was my understanding that there were almost two different areas where you could be. There's the basically the ground floor, and then there was a basement area as well with additional storage. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So were there any other coolers down in the basement or just this one on the ground floor you're talking about in the main dining area?
There was a walk-in in the basement. That was where alcohol would be stored, beer, wine, etc.
And so which cooler are we talking about then, the one on the main floor or the one down in the basement?
Main floor.
Main floor. And I believe you stated a minute ago you thought you saw him carrying it either in or out?
Correct. It's been several years, so my memory is a bit hazy.
Okay. Did you yourself store personal bags inside coolers at Portland Pie Company?
No, I did not.
And how many times do you believe that you may have seen him doing this, bringing it in or out of this cooler?
Would have been just once.
Just one occasion?
Yeah.
Okay. And again, you worked there until it closed, is that correct?
Correct.
Just a moment, please, Your Honor.
Thompson, thank you very much for your time. I don't have any further questions for you, but I believe defense counsel may have a few.
Okay.
We do not.
Okay.
Any questions? You may step down.
Thank you.
You could ask the witness to be excused, please, Your Honor.
Any objection?
No, Your Honor.
The witness is excused.
Good morning, Mr. Gibney. If you would kindly remain standing just for a brief moment, would you please raise your right hand, sir? Do you solemnly swear that the testimony you give this jury will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Thank you. Please feel free to have a seat. Mr. Gibney, as we're being recorded here today, would you please state your full name and spell both your first and your last name for the record?
Yes. Cameron Gibney, Cameron Gibney.
Okay. And Mr. Gibney, would you tell us, what town do you currently reside in?
Hooksett, New Hampshire.
Hooksett, New Hampshire.
Yep.
Okay. And I might need you to just scoot the seat in just a little bit more close to the mic.
Is that better?
Yep, that's okay. Perfect. Thank you. And how long have you been living in Hooksett?
For about 3 years now, originally from Manchester, but...
Okay. You said originally from Manchester. How long did you live in Manchester before you moved to Hooksett?
For about 15 plus years.
Okay. Let me ask you, are you currently employed?
I am.
Okay. Where do you work?
I work over at Manchester Music Mill.
And what do you do for them?
Pro audio and installation.
Okay. Prior to that, do you have any sort of work experience in the restaurant business?
I do.
What is that?
So prior to that, I worked at Portland Pie, in Manchester.
Were you working there in the winter of 2020? And by winter, I mean January, February, and March of 2020.
I did, yes.
Okay. What did you do at the Portland Pie Company? What were your job duties?
So I was originally a, server, and then I became front of house manager, about maybe six or so months after that.
As front house manager, I say server, I imagine you're serving people food and waiting on them, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Front house manager, what does that job entail?
So that job entailed doing, taking care of the front of basically the servers and the bartenders and anything that happened in the front as far as management-wise.
Did you ever meet a person by the name of Adam Montgomery there?
I did.
Okay. And how did you meet him?
Through work. There. He ended up getting hired on a little bit, I would say a little bit probably before I became manager in the front. I did see him, and that's how I know him from.
Do you know what his job duties were, what you saw him doing for the business?
Yes, he was originally in the back in the kitchen area. I believe he did prep and cooked as far as pizza and food.
I'm going to show you exhibit the Denmark States 101. Do you recognize this person?
I do.
Who do you recognize him to be?
Adam Montgomery.
So that's the same person that you worked with?
Yes.
And in the winter of 2020, first of all, when did that restaurant close?
It closed, I believe, the... I am not 100% sure. I don't remember when it closed. I was there prior to that, a week before it closed, but I'm not too certain when it actually closed off the top of my head.
Let me ask, was it just kind of before the beginning of the COVID lockdowns or afterwards?
It was before.
Before, okay. And in the winter of 2020, did you ever see the defendant at Portland Pie Company with a bag?
I did.
Okay. And where did you see him with this bag?
Inside inside the actual restaurant and around the restaurant itself. Also, I've seen him inside of our walk-in cooler that we used to have that was inside where the kitchen area was.
A walk-in cooler where the kitchen area was?
Yes.
Okay. And which floor was that kitchen area cooler on, the main floor or the basement?
Main floor.
What did you see the defendant, Mr. Montgomery, doing with this bag?
He always would just place it inside the walk-in cooler on the lower shelf. Sometimes he would move it to a different, location, but it was mainly on the lower left-hand side inside the cooler.
And I'd like to show you what's marked State's Exhibit 52. Mm-hmm. Do you recognize this bag, sir?
I do.
What does this bag look like?
It looks like the bag that was inside the cooler.
Is this the bag that you saw Adam Montgomery moving inside the cooler?
Correct.
How many times did you see him moving this bag?
Either when he left or when he arrived to Portland Pie.
But it was more than once, I think.
Correct.
Where in the cooler did you see him with the bag?
It was through the actual walk-in itself, door to the left lower shelf is where it was always located. So how it sat was... The door was like this. You walked around. There was a door to the right. The walk-in cooler opened. And then to the left of the cooler on the lower shelf, because there were like grates that were typically in there for like tomatoes and stuff.
Okay.
It was typically on the bottom shelf.
What else would be stored on that bottom shelf?
So it was, we had like mustard and just a bunch of other condiments that were typically down there.
Did you ever see anyone else handling this bag besides him?
No.
Did you ever bring bags inside and store them in the cooler at Portland Pie Company?
No.
And do you know of any other employees that brought bags such as that one inside Portland Pie Company and stored them in the cooler?
I do not.
Thank you, Mr. Gibney. I have no further questions for you. I believe defense counsel may have a few.
Okay. We do not, Your Honor.
All right. Sir, you may step down.
Okay.
We'd ask for Mr. Gibney to be excused, please, Your Honor.
Any objection?
Not objection.
All right. Sir, you are excused.
Thank you.
Your Honor, with regards to the state's next witness, it may be appropriate to take up the defendant's motion to file this morning.
Okay. Counsel, approach. The court is going to, what I'm going to do is I'm not going to send you to lunch yet. The parties have raised a legal issue that the court needs to review with the lawyers. That's not a matter for the jury's consideration. So at this time, we're going to take a break. Depending on where we land, we'll determine whether or not we come back, we hear testimony, or whether or not the timing is such that I let you go to an early lunch. So at this point, we're just going to call it a break. So have a drink of water, use the restroom. I'm not exactly sure how long this will take us. So just be patient, please. Thank you so much. All rise for the jurors. Counsel, you know what? I do want to read it before I hear arguments, so I'm just going to step off the bench, read what you've written, and then I'll hear arguments from both sides, okay?
Thank you, Your Honor.
All right, I've had an opportunity to review your filing, Attorney Smith. I also reviewed my original order on this motion, so I'll hear from you hitting the high points, but you don't have to repeat everything that you've got in there.
Thank you, Your Honor. Yes, in the motion I laid out, the original filing and the argument, and the state provided the unsworn affidavit of a detective with regard to what Kayla Montgomery purportedly had said in the past. And it's not like there were quotes or anything like
that. The reality of it is, at where we are right now, you can focus on the
correct
on what testimony we have, and they can provide officer proof for what testimony they think is coming. I think it's not especially relevant if there are things within Ray Hill's affidavit that are not identical.
So, right, which is why I say I'm renewing, because the testimony did not come out as purportedly she would testify at trial. At trial, she was asked again about tools, and she talked about a conversation with Adam at her mother's. And during that conversation, she testified that Adam was apparently interested in her mother's grinder, or she may have only called it a power tool, and said that he wanted to take it to use on Harmony's body. And she then identified the state's exhibit 63 as the item that she recalled her mother had. And if you will recall, 63 is the fuel grinder, Milwaukee, red, and she identified her initials on the bottom of the photograph. Turns out that this was not something that she had initialed at a prior recording. It was during the trial prep that apparently that photograph was given to her. And as far as I know, before that story, before that prep, there was no mention of a fuel grinder ever. And I believe that photograph may have been part of the photographs. We introduced photograph 'Defendant's Eye,' that was a circular saw that she identified as the image closest to the image of the power tool that she had seen in the house. It was an old power tool, and it was corded and looked most like the circular saw.
I'm sorry, she saw in which house?
Sorry, Union Street apartment. Then she was shown a miter saw, which is defendant's exhibit H, and said, no, that was not the saw that she saw. I do not know if State's Exhibit 63 was included in the photographs that she was shown back then. I assume that it was because I think they had already collected this Home Depot information, but nevertheless, they go to a prep session with a saw, a photograph of a saw that she has never seen. She tells them this story, and on the stand she tells them that she talked Adam out of stealing her mother's fuel grinder. So in regard to that, Christine Lubin testified she does not have a grinder. She's never had a grinder. She knew what the picture was of, and no, she had never had one. So the credibility with regard to that testimony has several layers, but essentially none. Then she also testified about tools, and she did not see tools other than the scissors. She testified
She testified that she saw tools in the apartment, right?
The one that looked most like the chainsaw was in a box under the cupboard.
Okay, so it's not that she didn't see tools.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
What she identified as the corded circular saw was in a box under the kitchen. She did not see any tools other than the scissors in the bathroom, and it was a small bathroom. The only thing that she saw there other than using the scissors was a bag of lime. She testified that the photograph of the lime was the most similar to what she saw. She did not say that she could identify the lime, but the lime in the picture, and I forgot to pull it out, was the one most like what she saw. She did not say that it was a 40-pound bag of lime, and she did not see tools. She did not hear tools. She didn't see tools outside before or after Adam was in the shower for a time period with the body while she was out. She did say she didn't hear a power tool. She did say her neighbor's music was loud, but I think common sense with regard to power tools, if a power tool was used, it would have been heard. She did not, and she admitted that she was there when the body was in the bag and Adam was trying to zip it up. She did not claim that there was any dismemberment, as the state put it in their opening. She didn't say anything about pieces. I'm sorry, it's sort of grotesque to talk about. But she didn't mention anything other than lime and shower in the bathroom as far as activities that she was aware of. And tools, again, that she was aware of were only the scissors and the circular saw underneath the thing that was old. She also, although she claimed that she limited her time in the bathroom, she also testified that she saw Adam put the body in a trash bag on the floor in Lime. She later retracted and said, no, he said that, she didn't see it. But in any event, she testified to both. If that tool was there, she would have seen it. She did not. She assisted in closing the bag, didn't see any sign of dismemberment or tools at that point. She never ever saw any new tools in the house. And you may recall from the original motion, what was purchased in the receipt by some unknown person included extra blade and extra battery. And so she didn't see anything new tool related in the apartment at Union. She testified about a I think she testified about a call for service for taking care of the bathroom. In any event, the state will have, I believe, a witness to talk about a call for service.
Well, they did introduce the document regarding the call for service, so that's in.
Okay, and I think that she mentioned that, no. So I guess they're not going to call the guy for a call for service, but they have a document. I think she described a call for service, and if she did, she didn't do anything about that call for service vis-a-vis the events in the shower. So we don't know if the events in the shower happened, she moved into the apartment at the end of February, and I think she said the 21st or the 22nd, and so there were a number of days prior to that call for service, and she did not say that it was the next day or anything, or the same day or whatever the complaint was, so we don't know if a day or two or three or four went in between.
I think the other thing you mentioned that you raised was the bank records. Do you want to discuss that?
Okay, and the bank records, they have bank records that show a withdrawal from Citizen Bank. The state put in its motion that Citizen Bank is about 0.4 miles from the Home Depot. I believe one of the officers will probably be able to testify that Union Street is over a mile from Home Depot. There's no evidence whatsoever of anybody giving a ride to the Montgomerys. There is testimony that when they got rides somewhere, it was sometimes through a service. There has been testimony about the number of friends, acquaintances of the Montgomerys that the police went out to talk to. It can be developed more, but there were a lot. There was also testimony about the crime tip line, and that people, as this was being publicized in the media, the search for Harmony, tips were coming in from the crime line, and they were following up on that. And there has been a discussion about the amount of media exposure. Nobody called in with a tip of a man walking down from Home Depot with a 40-pound bag of lime, a box of a power tool, and the like, nor has anyone called in who is perhaps an acquaintance of the Montgomery saying, oh, by the way, I think I gave him a ride. So there's no evidence whatsoever connecting the $500 purchase to a $400 purchase of lime at Home Depot. And finally, not in the motion, is that there's no evidence that the lime was purchased at Home Depot. There are other places that sell lime. I believe the testimony will be that they only searched Home Depot. So there is no connection. The state in their opening alleged that Harmony was dismembered by Adam, and they are seeking to introduce these tools to suggest that Mr. Montgomery had tools to cause that event, where there is no connection, and without that connection, the prejudice of this evidence so far outweighs any probative value that it should be precluded.
All right, thank you. I'll hear from the state. Go ahead.
As you said in the opening, she was compressed. You did not say dismembered. But most of what you just heard was the same argument that's been presented before with regards to the time. Attorney Smith just mentioned with regards, and I'll just try to go backwards in order so I can address the different points coming on. Yes, that the Citizens Bank is across the street from the Home Depot on South Willow Street. There are many different ways to get back and forth in the city that don't involve calling a ride or necessarily a ride for it. The fact that there's no testimony or a tip of a person carrying a bag of lime and a power tool in a bag that came in does not make it any less relevant or less admissible for this Home Depot perpetrator to occur. Let's go back to the timing. The
Citizens Bank withdrawal is on the 26th. A matter of minutes, less than an hour, minutes later, at the Home Depot across the street, there is this purchase of lime. This purchase of lime with power tools by cash. Other purchases of lime that were made for the entire month of February, with the exception of one other one, were accounted for, and the other one was outside of this time frame. It was far later than after the Econo Lodge stay, and we believe that Harmony was placed somewhere in the U-Haul, which we are going to get to in our witnesses later on. The testimony of cross-examination was just cited to you, but not necessarily the testimony of direct. Specifically, Kayleigh Montgomery testified that she did not see the body once it was in the bag. She also did testify that she saw that the bag was dismembered. There was no testimony on that. The call for service, Your Honor, defense immediately brought up the fact that there was a call for service that had been introduced. Just to clarify, that's a call for service back at the Lake Avenue address, the Fit Shelter. The call for service to Union Street, which is the day after this Home Depot purchase, for a tub drain that needed to be snaked as well as repaired, that will be coming in through a witness later on this afternoon who works for maintenance at 644 Union Street, where they were living at the time of the Home Depot purchase, at the time of the bank withdrawal, 45 minutes across the street from the Home Depot for this Home Depot purchase. With regards to photographs of what Ms. Montgomery testified to, I believe her testimony was that the identification of the grinder saw, and it is important to use the right term, as Christina Lubin testified to and has described, that is a grinder, the photos that were shown. There's no chainsaw here, so I don't know where the term chainsaw is coming from, but there is no chainsaw that's been involved. We've talked about a miter saw, which is also known as a box saw. We've also talked about a cordless circular saw, and then we've talked about this grinder. Specifically, the testimony of Kayleigh Montgomery was that the grinder was a box she recalled seeing before, and I believe in her testimony at one point saying that she had seen it somewhere before, and then she recalled seeing it at her mother's house, she believed, and that Adam Montgomery stated that that was the type of saw that he wanted to use when he was talking about dismembering her, so that she had seen a saw, a new saw in the box. And Ms. Lubin's testimony was that she did not own any such saw. It's a grinder, and it is not for woodworking, which is what she testified she did in her spare time and on the side, so she doesn't own it. So the testimony we have is that Kayleigh Montgomery has seen it in a box. Adam Montgomery has talked about seeing that in that box and wanting to use that for dismembering, not that it's one that Christina Lubin owned. Yes, she did testify that there was a circular saw that was there, and she was very adamant with regard to it being a corded saw and not a cordless circular saw. But she identified the bag of lime when she was shown that by detectives, not at the proffer session, but back before in March of 2023. She was shown that photo of the lime, and from that SKU, the SKU, which is the identification number that a business uses to identify that particular item in their inventory and to make sales and reports the sales of those on the receipt. She identified that bag with that SKU, and that SKU matched up to the purchase of lime that was made from the Home Depot less than an hour after the withdrawal of cash from their ATM account across the street. Yes. The Citizens Bank was a little over a mile away from Union Street, but there are a number of different ways that the defendant could have gotten there. Could have walked, could have taken a bus, could have used a private service to get there. The relevance is that it's their account that the money is being drawn from. That 45 minutes later, approximately so, it is a cash purchase that is made. It is one of only two cash purchases that is made in line with the same bag that she identified, with the same SKU that she identified, that, oh, look, if we go to the receipt, we see that there is this grinder, the same type that she said, and she remembers seeing with the defendant, that the defendant talked about wanting to use the dismembering. All of those goes in to make this particular purchase of lime, the purchase from Home Depot, admissible, and the juror can give it whatever weight that it deserves. The defendant certainly has plenty of different things that they can cross-examine on, but this is a question about admissibility, not about weight. Comes to admissibility under 403, as the court has ruled two previous times with regards to this, this is admissible, and there hasn't been anything about the testimony that's come in to change the admissibility of the evidence.
All right. I don't think it's necessary to recount all of this. I don't even think it's a close call. I think the state has sufficient evidence to show that it's relevant, that it has any tendency to make a fact more or less probable than it would be without the evidence, and that the fact is of consequence in determining the action. There's no question about that. There has been significant testimony regarding the saws. It's not essential that she have identified the exact saw. She saw a saw in her own apartment or the grinder. I mean, I think that there is sufficient evidence. There is evidence related to the, or there will be related to the bank account. I think the state has made an offer of proof. The proximity to the Home Depot purchase, the facts that were set forth in the original motion related to what the police did to narrow the issue related to the both the cash withdrawal and the use of the cash for the purchase. She testified that although she didn't hear the power tool being used, that there was music. She wasn't in there the whole time. I think that there is sufficient evidence to allow the state to bring in the information from the Home Depot. So for all the reasons that I said in my original order, for the reasons set forth by the state today, and after having reviewed the motion to reconsider is denied. All right, everybody ready to proceed?
Yes, Your Honor.
All right. Please rise for the jurors. I guess for the record, I should also say that I think it's admissible under 403. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for your patience. The legal issue that needed to be resolved has been resolved, and we can resume the testimony. The state may call its next witness.
Thank you, Your Honor. The state calls Eugene Wasson to the stand. Mr. Wasson, you can remain standing. If you can raise your right hand. Do you swear that the testimony that you'll provide this jury will be the truth and nothing but the truth under the pains and penalties of perjury?
Yes.
You can have a seat and make yourself welcome. And when you're ready, Mr. Wasson, if you can just start by giving us your name, stating it and spelling it for the record.
Okay. Real name is Eugene Robert Wasson, E-U-G-E-N-E, Robert, R-O-B-E-R-T. Nickname Bob, last name W-A-S-S-O-N.
Okay. And you go by Bob, is that right? Okay. Well, Mr. Wasson, can you begin by just telling the jurors where you work?
I work at Home Depot, Manchester, Londonderry, so I was a Met supervisor. So.
Do you travel between those two locations for work?
I now transferred to the Londonderry location, so I'm in that location now.
At some point, were you working in the Manchester?
Yes.
So what are the dates of that? When did you transfer to Londonderry?
I transferred to Londonderry last April of 2023. Was in Manchester for 11 and a half years.
11 and a half years. Mm-hmm. What role do you currently hold at Londonderry?
I'm just a med associate now. I mentally had to take a step down and became an associate instead of management.
Before you took that step down, you mentioned management. Mm-hmm. What were your roles and responsibilities?
I had vast different roles. Last position that I had was merchandising execution team supervisor. So I was in charge of about 20 people at the high. We did all the resets. So if you've been to Home Depot, we went in and did the Christmas resets and spring resets and pretty much get new merchandise out and stuff like that.
What is the Home Depot and the business of the business? What is the business of the Home Depot? Sorry, that was a...
Home improvement retail sales.
And so if you could just remind us of your current duties.
My current duties?
Yes.
Are basically doing resets, getting sales and promotions ready and stuff like that.
It's been marked for identification as State's Exhibit 92.
Yes, you may.
Mr. Watson, I'm handing you what's been marked as State's Exhibit 92 for identification. Can you take a look at those items and just look up and move them? The final page, if you can just take a look at that.
There you go. Okay.
All right. Are you familiar with these documents, Mr. Watson?
Yes. The spreadsheet kind of is something that you pull for a report if you're looking for something for receipts and transactions. And the last one is a receipt.
So let me ask you this, Mr. Watson. Are these records typically held in the ordinary course of business?
It's something that if you had to look up receipts and transactions, then you would. Most people wouldn't get them.
Okay. Most people wouldn't, but employees of the Home Depot would. You're able to access those.
If you worked in a certain department, which I did, I ran the service desk, so I had to do audits on this stuff every so often.
And that last document, mm-hmm. What did you describe that as?
Receipt from a transaction from the Manchester location on 2/26/2020 around 11:42 a.m.
Were you working at that location?
Yes.
On February?
I'm just going to remind you both, this is a very big room, so it's really important that all the jurors are able to hear both of you. So if you could keep your voices up, please.
Sure.
Were you working at the Home Depot on February 26th? 2020, Mr. Watson?
I was employed with them then.
How were you so employed at that time?
I was merchandising execution team supervisor at that point.
You said you had an opportunity to review these records previously. Let me ask you this.
Are those fair and accurate to the best of your knowledge with the records that you reviewed prior to taking the witness stand?
Yes.
Your Honor, at this point, the state moves to strike what's been marked for identification. Strike the ID of Exhibit 92 and mark as full.
Counsel?
We rest on our prior objection.
All right. The ID is stricken. It's entered as a full exhibit.
Okay. So, Mr. Watson, I'm going to ask you to
just take a look at these items, and I want you to start with, it looks like they're in order still.
Uh-huh.
What's the first date you're able to see? And I want you to go to the last date. From the first date to the last date, what is the first date you're able to look at on those documents?
February 5th, 2020 to March 4th, 2020.
And I'm just going to ask you to talk to the back of the room so the jurors can hear you. What is the first date you're able to see?
February 5th, 2020 to March 4th, 2020.
Okay. And if you can do me, if you can count how many transactions you're able to observe on those documents.
About 33 of them.
33. Okay. And what do those documents capture? What are we looking at? What are the documents?
Different stores, different addresses, and store numbers. So there's quite a few of them for around this area. And
when you say different stores,
there's Manchester, Londonderry, Hooksett. So the different Home Depot stores in this section.
And are these transactions that we're looking at or something else?
They are transactions for the different times, and it looks like for a specific class that they were looking for.
Okay, and what is that specific class?
Looks like lime and gypsum, so anything under that category.
Are you familiar with what lime and gypsum is?
Yep, it could be anywhere from drywall to powdered or stuff for gardening.
Stuff for gardening.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is there a specific SKU number associated with those purchases? And when I say SKU number, let me back up. Are you familiar with that term, SKU?
Yes, we use it every day.
Can you tell the jurors what it means? Let me ask you this. Is the Home Depot able to track specific purchases?
Oh, yes. We can look up different line items.
Okay. When you say line items, how do you look up those different line items?
Typing in the SKU number or description into our computer system, and you'll be able to validate what somebody has purchased.
Those specific SKU numbers, are they related to specific items that you sell at the Home Depot?
Yes.
Does each item have its own unique SKU number?
It does.
And are you able to make out the SKU number specific to those purchases? Let me strike that question. You mentioned a receipt.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell the jurors again what the date is of that receipt?
The receipt for the piece of paper is February 26, 2020.
And do you see one of the SKU numbers that you mentioned?
Limestone, 221-104, which is unique for that one, for limestone.
What else do you see present on that receipt, Mr. Wasson?
Looks possibly like a tool. A fuel grinder and a blade for a tool.
And that's a Diablo blade for a tool. What else do you see on that receipt?
Total cash, change given, the price of everything, each line item, and the total.
Okay. When you say the total cash, if you can set the receipt down and turn back to the larger document.
Mm-hmm.
How many cash transactions do you see present on that list of 33 sales?
Three.
Okay, and what are the dates of those cash transactions?
February 15th, February 26th, and March 2nd.
All right, and specific to this receipt, turning back to the receipt rather.
Which would have been the February 26, Manchester location. Where is that? Sorry, my eyes got lost.
Take your time. So you said February 26, Manchester
mm-hmm.
location. That's February 26th of 2020?
Yep.
And you mentioned earlier when you were reviewing the receipt that there was a cash total.
Yep.
What was the cash total for those items?
$400.
So
Sorry. Oh, the total for the product was $396.35, paid $400, and got change of $365 back.
So the person that made that transaction gave $400?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And thank you, Mr. Wasson. No additional questions.
Good morning. Can I grab that microphone?
Yes, you may. Thank you.
So let me introduce myself, Mr. Wasson. I'm Jamie Brooks, and I represent Adam Montgomery. I'm also going to ask you a few questions. Uh-huh. So, Exhibit 92 consists of two documents, correct?
You talk about this right here?
Yes, the exhibit in front of you now, Exhibit 92.
Okay.
There's two separate documents there, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And the first one is a document collecting all of the limestone purchases made at various Home Depot locations in New Hampshire from February 1st of 2020 through March 4th. Is that correct?
No, February 5th.
February 5th through March 4th.
Yes.
And if I may approach.
Yeah. Yes.
Let's take a look at that document.
That's the receipt. That's the pages. And
that's the spreadsheet.
Yeah.
Where are the SKU numbers? Which page? You have a spreadsheet out in front of you, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And this spreadsheet represents 33 separate purchases of some kind of limestone?
So the SKU number is right here, the 22104. This is all the 221104. Right.
So
here.
These are all different SKU numbers then?
This is mostly the SKU number for, looks like for the limestone.
What are these other lime gypsums?
So that's the subcategory. So it goes subcategory and then subdescription. So there's like a big, how Home Depot does it is they have like a class of like hand tools. And then it goes into either a manufacturer, and then it goes into what kind of hand tool, and then it goes into the SKU specific. So it gets categorized in different things. So this is your start of your top class, and then it goes down to more specific of the SKU number. So it's like parent, kid, grandkid.
Okay. But all 33 of these are various limestone products?
It's all the same SKU number. Looks like there might be another. Yes, so it's all the same SKU number here, except for two of them, which is a grow and green and grow limestone, which is a totally different product, but it's still a limestone category.
Okay. 33 purchases from, was it five locations? Manchester, Hooksett, Londonderry, South Merrimack, and Concord?
It looks like it, yep.
It's fair to say, though, that Home Depot is not the only store that offers limestone products.
There is other retailers that do sell limestone.
The next document, it is a receipt for a February 26th purchase?
Yes.
Cash purchase?
Yes.
It does not, that receipt does not indicate the identity of the purchaser?
It does not.
And based on your managerial experience, Home Depot retains Kong?
I'm not sure on that. I never, as the position I was in, we never really had to go to the cameras unless we were asked to validate something. But we have no access to it except for loss prevention and corporate.
And those cameras and the footage obtained therefrom, to your knowledge, is it kept forever?
I'm not aware of, I'm not sure.
It's possible that it gets lost over time?
With the company as Home Depot, probably stays for a long time.
I don't have anything further. Thank you for your time, Mr. Watson.
Thank you.
Your Honor, I'd ask that this witness be excused.
Any objection?
No, Your Honor.
All right, sir, you may step down. You are excused.
Okay.
Counsel? Call its next witness.
Your Honor, at this time, the state will call Detective Max Rahill to the stand.
Detective Rahill, if you can just stand and raise your right hand. Do you swear that the testimony that you're going to provide this jury will be the truth and the whole truth under the pains and penalties of perjury?
I do.
You can make yourself comfortable. There's some water there if you need it. Start by stating and spelling your full name for the record.
Mm-hmm. It's Max Rahill, R-A-H-I-L-L.
And Detective Rahill, I've called you a detective, but how are you presently employed?
I am a detective with the Manchester Police Department.
And how long have you been a detective with the Manchester Police Department?
I've been a detective for about 3.5 years, but I've been employed with the Manchester Police Department for 9.5 years.
When did your employment begin with the Manchester Police Department?
July of 2014.
And prior to being a detective, what was your assignment?
I was a patrol officer.
What are your duties as a patrol officer with the Manchester Police Department?
Responding to in-progress calls, accidents, thefts, doing proactive work, traffic stops, things of that nature.
And remind us, what year did you become a detective?
In 2020.
In 2020 until now.
Correct.
What are your current duties and what are your role and duties as a detective with the Manchester Police Department?
So I'm currently assigned to the General Investigations Unit, and we typically do general investigations, more specifically burglaries, thefts. I'm kind of more geared towards the violent crime and evidence aspect in the unit.
Any prior law enforcement experience prior to the Manchester Police Department?
I was actually a court officer at this courthouse and Manchester District Court.
And how long did you have that role for?
A little less than a year.
Detective Rahill, did you graduate from the New Hampshire Police Academy?
I did.
And what year was that?
2014.
Do you recall what class you were?
165.
And do you participate in regular trainings through the Manchester Police Department?
I do.
Okay. How often would you say you participate in trainings?
I try to do a couple to a half dozen a year. More so, I mean, since I've been employed there, I've done a wide array of different trainings. But since I've been a detective and before I became a detective, I started to do more trainings and towards the investigative aspect of law enforcement.
So is it fair to say the trainings that you participate in currently are more geared towards your duties investigating?
Correct.
I want to switch gears, Detective Rahill.
Were you assigned duties in your official capacity as a law enforcement officer with the Manchester Police Department regarding the investigation into the disappearance of Harmony Montgomery? I know that was a mouthful. But
yes.
Okay. And just briefly, if you could describe for this jury what your role and participation in the case was, just a bird's eye view.
Okay. So I originally started working on the case early January of 2022, where we would help with searches, follow-ups, things of that nature, but I didn't actually get assigned the case with Detective Dunleavy until February of 2022.
You mentioned a Detective Dunleavy. Is that Jack Dunleavy?
Yes.
And what is your understanding of his role in this case?
The lead investigator.
And so what was that interaction like between yourself and Jack Dunleavy?
We had a good rapport, just going back and forth on different things that needed to get done.
I guess my question, did you split duties?
Oh, yes. Yeah, correct. Sorry.
And I think you said this, but your involvement in this matter began in January of 2020?
Correct.
2022.
Yes.
I want to discuss specific processing of an item, sealing.
Yes.
Can you describe your role and involvement in the processing of a sealing for the jurors?
Yes. So we arrived to process the scene June 4th of 2022.
Let me stop there. When you say you arrived to process.
Oh, sorry. 177 Lake Ave, which is the Families in Transition building, also known as FIT. So we arrived there that morning to get consent from the CEO and the president of FIT, along with the occupants of room one in the FIT building.
And when you say we arrived, were you with other detectives?
Yes, I originally arrived there with Detective Dunleavy.
And when you arrived, what did you do?
We vacated the residence and to get it prepped for processing it.
Did you process the sealing specifically?
Yes.
And how did you go about doing that?
So when we walked in, there was three areas of interest. And the sealing that we're talking about, MER 3D, that was further back in the residence of room one. And so the processing of that, it was a huge piece of evidence. So we needed kind of all hands on deck when we actually took the sealing down.
You just mentioned the evidence number, MER 3D. What's
yes.
the significance of the MER?
So those are my initials.
And so did you log that evidence in under your own name?
I did.
And why did you do that?
I was tasked with documentation and collection that day when we arrived to FIT.
You mentioned collecting MER 3D. Did you also collect a vent cover?
I did.
And what was that logged under?
I believe the vent cover was MER 3A.
At some point during your time, is it fair to say that during your time at the FIT shelter, you did more than just document the sealing?
Correct.
What else did you do that day?
So after we processed the sealing and packaged up and got it out of the residence, we ended up cleaning it to make sure that there was no dust on the ground. And we went and processed the scene with, processed the room and the bathroom with Blue Star.
And walk us through that process. What was your specific role in the processing of that room and the bathroom?
So my specific role was documentation of what we were doing, and I was with Detective Bombard and Detective Bergeron Rosa.
So I want to switch gears with you, Detective Rahill. During your involvement on this case, did you have an opportunity to review Meta bank account records?
I did.
And specifically an account ending in 5270?
Yes.
And what is your familiarity with that account?
That is the bank account for Kayla Montgomery.
And to your knowledge, is that one that was a shared account?
Yes.
Objection.
Counsel.
Objection is sustained. Let me ask a follow-up question.
So, Detective Rahill, you mentioned your familiarity with the records.
Yes.
How did you go about collecting? Did you collect those records?
I didn't physically collect them.
Did another officer involved with this matter collect those records?
Yes.
How did they go about collecting them?
A search warrant.
And you had a chance to review those records?
Yes.
Do those records document that... Well, let me back up. You mentioned that this was a shared account.
Yes.
What's the source of that information for you?
On the record.
Your review of the records?
Yes.
Okay. Your Honor, may I approach this one?
Yes.
Showing the defense what's been previously marked for identification of State's Exhibit 138. So, Detective Rahill, I'm showing you what's been marked for identification as State's Exhibit 138. I'm just going to ask that you take a moment and review those records.
Mm-hmm.
Once you've had an opportunity to review those records. Thank you. So the records that I just handed you, State's Exhibit 138, are you familiar with this?
Yes.
Okay. What is it?
It was the bank records for that card and number ending in 5270.
Familiar with these records?
Yes. Fair to say?
Okay. Your Honor, I move to strike the ID of State's Exhibit 138 and mark as full.
Any objection?
Your Honor,
yes.
More continuing coverage of the trial of Adam Montgomery for the murder of his daughter Harmony Montgomery is on the way. Press subscribe so you don't miss a moment from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu. At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Cunahan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have leaf filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A leaf filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install leaf filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, leaf filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household. You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Cunahan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody. Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have leaf filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A leaf filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install leaf filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, leaf filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household. You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Cunahan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody. Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have leaf filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A leaf filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install leaf filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, leaf filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.